Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married
sweetheart. For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
What's going to happen is we're going to end up doing so well. We're way ahead in the polls of against Biden. Biden has destroyed our country. Look, Biden is the worst president in the history of our country, worse than Jimmy Carter by a long shot. Jimmy Carter's happy because he's had a brilliant presidency compared to Biden. He's destroyed our country between the borders and everything else. He has destroyed our country. Not only that, wars are breaking out all over the world. We'll end up with this foolish person. This person that doesn't. We're going to end up in a world war today. So we have to get rid of Biden.
Well, you know what? That's not that's not in like Palm Beach, Florida, outside Mar-a-Lago, where Donald Trump is talking about how bad Joe Biden is or how good he's going to be as the president should he win in November. That's in Harlem. And the videos that go along with this audio are pretty amazing to see. He goes to a bodega and a bodega, if you ask one, Dr. Jill Biden. I almost said Jill Stein. Gosh, dang it, my phone. Sorry, guys. He's surrounded by people. It looks just like New York, which means everybody's represented there. And they are interested in what he has to say. They're drawn to his magnetism. They're in a position to see him and listen to him. And it culminates in him in the crowd yelling, "We love Trump." There were old people, young people, every walk of life. Donald Trump goes to Harlem and talks to the people. More, 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 more. Or as I put on Twitter, the Bugs Bunny standing in front of the symphony, putting his hand up, going, "More." I can't get enough of it. It's so.
The laws are right. The whole world is watching this New York legal system. This is all election interference at the highest level. It all comes out of Washington because they're losing badly. You know they're losing very badly. You do know that. They're losing badly in the polls. I think you're going to see some numbers coming out now even higher. People don't like the persecution. They don't like what's going on. They don't like these fake prosecutors. Deranged Jack Smith, the whole group of them. And I think you're going to see some big changes being made.
What do you think Speaker Johnson is
going to be? You know what we're going to be doing, right? We're going to be saving America. Our country is under siege.
We're going to be saving America. Is that dramatic? Is it overly dramatic for Donald Trump to be standing in Harlem New York City after he's been let out of court and he's running for president once again against Joe Biden. Is it a little dramatic to be saying we're going to be saving America? Brad, do you find that to be dramatic?
No, I don't. And the reason I don't is because everybody knows that this is a chance. This election is one of those pivot points in America. And I think it's kind of shocking that we had a pivot point in 2020 and a pivot point now. And actually, 2016 was a pivot point. If you stop and now looking back on it historically, I didn't think it was at the time. But now looking back on it, Donald Trump's presidency was a dramatic shift in the direction of the country. It was a shift in politics in general. And then 2020 was almost like an overcorrection. And so this is like one of those points, like, did we overcorrect in 2020 or do we want to go back to the way things were under Donald Trump and maybe polish it off a little bit?
Of the entirety of our lives on the face of this earth, 2020 is the most bizarre, weird anomaly year, exponentially so, that I have lived to see. The decisions that we made in 2020, the decisions that we followed, the ones we chose not to follow, this was not real life. I mean, it's so crazy to go back. I remember during lockdown, I'm from Illinois, so we were trailblazers in the way of lockdowns. I remember being about 2 weeks into it, and you kind of got, you know, you sunk into it a little bit, and you're like, okay, we don't have to wear jeans anymore. You remember when you hadn't seen your jeans? You hadn't seen your long pants? Everything was athleisure. You know why athleisure is so popular right now? Because everybody needed it in 2020 and nobody was wearing it in 2020 the way they are now. Everybody realized that your comfortable clothes are ugly. And they're like, we got to up our game here. Not a bad thing. I'm not complaining about it. It was not a normal time. And what we went through, everything they could throw at you as a voter, they tried to throw at you as a voter. Inflame everything, everywhere, all at once. And generally speaking, when that's the case, when everything is going wrong in incredible ways, you probably want the biggest change you possibly can to get away from it. Was Donald Trump responsible for COVID? No. Was Donald Trump responsible for George Floyd? No. Was Donald Trump responsible for the riots that were taking out across the entire country? No. But isn't it amazing that come the November election, you were really supposed to pin all those things on Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Like, you were really led to believe that we needed this new, fresh beginning. And if you remember, it was almost kind of embarrassing to watch, like, it was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be able to see these people fawning over this man like this. When Joe Biden got elected on Inauguration Day.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Yeah, it felt private. It felt like, this seems like personal behind closed doors affection. But the idea of this brand new beginning, Morning in America, take two, was supposed to wash away the heaviness, the awfulness of 2020. I don't think that the inflammation of the bad things that happened in 2020, COVID was bad. COVID got here. COVID was not a Republican or a Democrat virus. It was a real virus. It took the lives of people who you love and who I love. COVID was real. But of course, how we went and managed it was awful and inflamed. Inflamed with politics. It is amazing to me to look at the politics that existed around COVID. What you did, what you wore, when you did it, where you did it, had everything to do with your politics. Here's the number one case in point.
Before or after the election, should Americans take it, and would you take it?
If the public health professionals, if Dr. Fauci, if the doctors tell us that we should take it, I'll be the first in line to take it. Absolutely. But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Imagine a life-saving measure that you can participate in. What we finally found out was for the good of everybody. It wasn't just about, like, the vaccine wasn't about you and your health. It was actually, it became only about your willingness to help everybody around you. It was virtue on display. Mm-hmm. And you know, because they made a Facebook circle that you could put around your Facebook profile picture to tell everybody how good you are. I hate those things. So that was a clip from October 8th of 2020. What was going on in October 8th of 2020? Oh, that's right. We weren't investigating the Hunter Biden laptop. That's what's going on then. Fast forward a year, September 24th, 2021.
I mean, look, here's how I feel about it. People have got to be responsible.
Oh.
You know, I've been watching, like many of you, with the heartache, the videos of people who are in an ICU bed who did not get vaccinated, pleading with their family members, please get vaccinated.
Well, maybe that's because the president told them to get the vaccine and they said, I'm not going to do it. Maybe that's why they didn't get vaccinated. And maybe that was because of the advice of the vice president of the United States, then candidate for vice president of the United States, who said if the president tells you to get the vaccine, that you're not going to participate in it. Imagine being so willing to get a medical procedure because the Democrats told you to do it, but unwilling to do it because the Republicans told you to do it. I would really honestly say of all of the things that have absurdly entered the political sphere, the whole concept of vaccinations across the timeline that they've existed, Brad, Republicans have been, in my opinion, the most principled by far on this issue,
mm-hmm.
because Republicans don't agree.
Right.
Within their own party. There are people who feel one way. There are people
yes.
who feel another way. There are people who never got the vaccine and are very grateful that they didn't. There are people who did get the vaccine and are grateful that they did. There are people who got the vaccine and regretted getting it.
Yes.
And you can follow all of those people, be principled on it. But on the left, you can't.
It's a purity test.
Yeah, you cannot say the wrong thing.
Right.
How can you look at something like that and file it in the filing cabinet under medical care if it has a red or a blue uniform on it? That's
yeah.
absurd.
I remember when Kamala Harris was talking about this, and really, it wasn't just her. It was all over Twitter in the events leading up to the election. I said on Twitter, I was like, listen, these people right now are out here saying this vaccine, they ain't trying, they're not going to try it, they're not going to take it, blah, blah, blah. I said, but you can bet if Joe Biden wins this election and there is a vaccine that comes out, because this was before the vaccine actually came out, if Joe Biden wins this election, these are the same people that will be first in line with their sleeves rolled up to
sure.
get vaccinated.
Joe Biden was in line to get this.
Yes, he was first in line.
He got two vaccinations before the election and then said that it was anyway.
Well, and remember, too, that they didn't release the announcement that they had a vaccine until after the election because they said they didn't want it to be political, which was in and of itself a political move.
So the first clip I played was from Kamala Harris, and it was her at the vice presidential debate where she's asked, like, are you going to get the vaccine? And she said, if the doctors and Fauci says so, yes, because Fauci is nonpartisan. Pause for effect. If Trump says to get it, there's no way I'm getting it. And then the next one I played was from a year later. So I understand you're like, Annie, that was a year later. She had so much more information. First one, October 8th. The second one I played, October 8th, 2020. The second one I played, September 24th, 2021. Let's rewind right into the middle, February 26th, basically 1 month after Donald Trump was no longer the president. And of course, Joe Biden was the guy.
And the point, Rev, is this. I got vaccinated. I can tell you, first of all, that these vaccines are safe. It will save your life.
Oh, she's very convicted on that. She knows. She understands what happened. Democrat president in office, everything changes. Mm-hmm. When your girl is in office, everything changes. Everything's better. So much so that the vaccination that she said she wouldn't take if Donald Trump, it was the same vaccination. The idea that the vaccine would do one thing to you if you got it because Fauci said it and another thing to you because Trump said it, that's the same vaccine that Joe Biden said to take. But here we are. The absurdity of what we went through in 2020 led to a moment in November of 2020, Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, who was hardly even present for the campaign. In my opinion, people made an emotional decision to not support Donald Trump. And of course, the left did everything they could to change voting laws, go to Pennsylvania, go to Arizona, go to Nevada, and look at what was done in a lot of these different swing states to alter the norm of how votes are collected. I'm not talking about 3 a.m. water pipe breaks and stuff under the table that in many cases has been debunked, in other cases hasn't been prosecuted because it was never allowed in court, so we just don't know about some of this stuff. I'm not worried about those things. I'm worried about how the Democrats got away with working at a state-by-state level to change the laws. They used the chaos that they helped sow into the country, they used it to their advantage. One might say, never let a crisis go to waste. They sure didn't. How do we win knowing all of that took place in 2020? It has nothing to do with Donald Trump and Joe Biden. It's the system that's in place. None of that. Everybody pounding their fist on the table. Election day, not election season. One vote, one day. Show your right. Okay, all great ideas. I understand it. I am probably the most pro-life person I know. Life begins at conception. I'm confident in that. I still also know that while I say life begins at conception, that if somewhere, somehow, they passed a federal 15-week abortion ban, that would be a win. Because right now we're aborting babies all the way through pregnancy in the state of Illinois, and we're proud of it. In order to be a practical conservative that understands where to get the wins, you have to look at the reality of the situation, and you have to be able to understand incremental wins where your goal is always the same, your principles are the same, but you take the wins when you can get them. How are we going to change the narrative enough? What does Tyler Boyer always say in Arizona? We have to be leading outside the margins. He uses a word. It's not cheating. There's a specific words of manipulation or something like that. Well, how much, if you think that the ballot harvesting that is legal in many states, if you think, well, that's going to happen no matter what, we got to outdo it. If it's legal, we got to do it more than they do, or at least twice as much as we did the last time. We got to show up. We got to know the rules of the game, and we've got to compete as hard as we can compete. And if you don't like the fact that we're ballot harvesting legally in the places where the process is allowed, if you don't like it, you're going to have to do it to defeat it. You're never going to change those election laws at your state level until you start winning elections. Illinois is not going to be changing their election laws anytime soon to benefit conservatives when they're in the super minority in both chambers of the General Assembly and J.B. Pritzker is the governor. It's just not happening. We have to think in terms of what is realistic, and then we have to focus on achievable goals. That looks very different in the state of Illinois than it looks in the state of Missouri. Missouri, you've got all your statewide races up for grabs this November. It's very important to be paying attention to sending the person who can govern in the most effective way for constitutional conservative values. Who's that person for you? And why is that person the person for you? And you're answering that question right now in your head, and the person in the car next to you has a different answer for a different reason, and that's okay. But we do the work now. And if you're Donald Trump, you show up at I can't say bodega without thinking bodega. Jill. Dr. Jill Biden, you've gotten into my head. Showing up at a bodega in Harlem to talk to people, does that sound ridiculous? Well, if you're going to be in New York City, if there is one place where it seems like everybody is represented, it's probably New York City. So go to every nook and cranny of New York City. Go to every bodega in New York City, in Harlem, in wherever you can reach. Go to the Hamptons and go to the Bronx and go to all of the different boroughs and be seen. The cameras will follow you when the crowds follow you. And where this man goes, the crowds follow. Where Joe Biden goes, nobody knows. Not even Joe. That all rhymes. I didn't even mean to do that. How are we going to win this next election? It's going to take some guerrilla warfare and grassroots gone wild for the Republicans, because we do have to win outside the margin of error. Dramatically so. And every single voter has to be considered somebody who we will be willing to talk to and listen to. I think that's what we're seeing Donald Trump do in New York, and it is quite a good use of his time while he's trapped in that city. The YouTube live chat poll for today: which level is the most important to win in the November elections? You cannot vote all of the above, because obviously that would be such a boring poll. You need to tell me what's the most important to you this November: local, state, congressional, or presidential? I have a pretty confident answer for this. We're going to get to those discussions a little bit later in the show, but I do want to know what you think about it. So if you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can vote. You can leave a comment. Doug says school board elections, for instance, mean a hell of a lot more to me than the president. So I think Doug's saying local. Would you rather have your local elections go your way or your presidential election? Doug thinks local. What do you say? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, leave a comment, and vote. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Right now we're watching as senators are sworn in for the Mayorkas impeachment trial. And it's just kind of a procedural thing at this point, but we're going to keep our ear on it to see if anything develops over the course of the next few minutes as this is beginning. They're literally signing in. This is not like you sign into your computer. They're literally putting pen to paper and signing in here. There's a lot going on right now in the world and, of course, in the news. And yesterday we had a really interesting conversation, as we always do, with Jim Carafano, because he's incredibly well-versed on a lot of these different things. But the Israel-Iran conflict right now, I think, has a lot of people on the edge of their seat, and everybody's waiting to see what Netanyahu and Israel is going to do next. Fox News reports Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu left no doubt in a statement on Wednesday regarding what his Jewish country might do should current tensions with Iran escalate further. Netanyahu said in a statement, Israel will do whatever it needs to defend itself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's the 9-word phrase that they say. Netanyahu says 9 chilling words as Iran's president vows to completely destroy Israel. Israel will do whatever it needs to defend itself. Of course they will. Why would anybody think anything different? I don't love the push. You know, if you've been this person on a much smaller scale, this is obviously about as big of a stage that you can be on. But Brad, have you ever experienced being asked to do the right, do the right thing because people figured you'd probably be the one willing to do it? In an unfair situation where it's like, Brad, we're just going to need you to do this because people can rely on you to follow through, where maybe the other party in the circumstance, you can't rely on them. You can't count on them.
So it's like in a reliability way.
Yeah. Or in if tensions are rising, or if somebody's acting out or acting up or whatever, it's like people are going to pressure you to be the bigger man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a minister, so I get that.
You weren't always a minister.
No, but I do get that pressure a lot. And yeah,
it's not fair.
No, it's not fair. At the end of the day, though, doing the right thing is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And being the bigger person. Well, I don't know if being the bigger person is always the right thing. And I think I could make an argument from scripture about that, you know. But
Well, I think that that's kind of what's going on with Israel.
Yeah.
Like, what's the goal? Is the goal to not have the worst conflict we can possibly have right now? Because if so, you're going to have to pressure Israel to be the calmer head.
People get in their mind that the right thing is what the popular opinion is.
It rarely is.
And it isn't. And I'm sitting here, if you look at Israel, and I look at Israel, Israel was attacked by Iran. And people are like, well, that was in response to them unrighteously killing the general. Well, that general that they killed in that quote-unquote embassy wasn't an embassy. It was a planning headquarters for the Iranian Republican Guard. The general that they killed was the guy that planned the October 7th attacks. Hamas didn't do that on their own. They had help from Iran.
Funding.
Hezbollah doesn't attack Israel on their own. They have funding and planning help from Iran. They're what they call proxies. So if Iran launches a bunch of missiles and drones at Israel, and Israel, with the help of the United States and some other countries, were able to knock all but, I think, one of them out of the sky. One of them landed, which is fantastic. That's way better than I thought they could do. Really excellent work there. If somebody tries to sucker punch you and you happen to block the sucker punch, that doesn't mean that the fight is over. That's just the beginning, and you have to deal with that new threat now. So I don't think it's fair to ask Israel to say, hey, we need you to calm down here because, you know, you were able to do it and you demonstrated your might and defense. And it's like sometimes the best defense is a good offense.
Well, and also what I always want to know, like, how much destruction has to happen in order for you to be like, all right, Israel, let loose? Because I would say the October 7th.
I'm past that line. You know, do I think American boots should be on the ground to assist Israel? No. But I don't think that Israel will necessarily need American boots on the ground to help finish this fight. I think that basically what the United States needs to do is hold everybody back and be like, let them finish it. This is their issue. Let them finish it. Because, like, the thing that people fail to remember or fail to grasp is that Hezbollah, Hamas, and Iran, their goal is not a two-state solution. It is a one-state solution, but that means no Israel. Their goal is to remove Israel from the face of the earth. Now, some people will say that they actually want to go as far as to remove the Jewish people from the face of the earth. I don't know about that, but I do know that removing that country from the face of the earth is not the good guy in that situation. They are the bad guys. And if Israel's in a fight for survival, I don't see why they should be forced to have neighbors that are just hell-bent on their destruction. You shouldn't be forced to live next to somebody who wants to kill you. You shouldn't.
Yeah. And I can't help but think that my lack of faith and confidence in America's role in the entirety of this thing is it bothers me how I feel like we are a background player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be on the front lines by any means, but I don't feel like our principled resolve is obvious. And I feel like what we see President Biden saying and doing, there's conflicting signals mm-hmm. coming out of the Biden administration to the point where if they just go, you know what, America, clearly you're worried about your political campaigns coming up. Forget about you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's good.
No. And actually that harms our relationship with Israel, which is Israel's our strongest Middle Eastern ally. It was our strong relationship with Israel under the Trump administration that allowed the Abraham Accords to come about. Saudi Arabia, they looked at Iran, saw Iran as a threat. They looked at Israel, said, we have a common enemy in Iran and the United States supports Israel. Therefore, we will partner with them. They signed the Abraham Accords, which are historic.
Mm-hmm.
And it should bring about a modicum of peace. It's not going to bring about total peace. You're never going to bring about total peace in the Middle East. But you need peace through strength. And the United States looks so wishy-washy there that bad actors like Iran are looking at this. Heck, I'll throw Russia in there. Russia's looking at it too, going, well, maybe they won't do something.
Russia has come out and said, you know, Israel, now it's time to show restraint. Really?
Yeah, Russia, sit this one out.
Really? Come on. As if Russia doesn't have interests in Iran.
Right. Russia has huge interest in Iran.
Well, we're going to speak with DeRoy Murdoch at the 1 o'clock hour, and we're going to talk about the Harlem visit from Donald Trump, where you heard this. Well, there's at least a portion of Harlem that wants 4 more years of Donald Trump, and it's quite something to see. Donald Trump is going to have to figure out how to continue this on the ground, on location, show up, speak to real people, just be seen. Because the more up close and personal Donald Trump can be through the rest of this election, we have 202 days until we vote. The more up close and personal that he can be with each individual voter, he's got a lot of time. This election process, having the nominees on both parties this early, is nearly unprecedented. Keep doing it every day. Go meet more voters. The mainstream media, the political driven pundits, the Biden administration, or I should say the Biden campaign, they can't spin that. When Donald Trump meets the voters, they can't wedge themselves in the middle of that relationship to try to jumble the message. Donald Trump gives it straight to the people. That's a way that he can win. And it's, we've been saying it on this show forever. Go to the places where people don't normally go, Republicans. Show up. People are very disenfranchised with the Democrat Party right now. The Democrat Party is very segmented. I don't know which part of that Democrat Party is going to prevail. But go show up. Persuade some of these people to just consider seeing you in a light that they can see with their own eyes and with voice that they can hear with their own ears. Not some predisposed message that comes across, you know, the MSNBC, CNN, TikTok news channels. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan Wiggins in studio. He's going to take us through a little time travel today. What does that mean? Well, we'll find out here in just a minute. Come vote at the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Which level is the most important to win in the November elections? You can't say all of the above. You got to pick one. The most important, of course, they're all important, but which is the most important to you? Local, state, congressional, or presidential? Let us know what you think. We'll be right back.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
Very excited to bring you a new segment. I've been working on this. I'm going to play the open. It's called Today in Time Travel.
Time travel.
All right, what I have here is it's April 17th, 2024. I have pulled stories from April 17th in different years. And the years are 2023, so exactly 1 year ago today. 2020, so April 17th of 2020. 2017, and then exactly 10 years ago today, which would be April 17th, 2014.
Are you sure those are the possible answers?
I am sure. I am very sure.
We just did a game like this.
I thought
and
that might come up.
You gave us the wrong answers to pick from.
No, those are the right dates. And I'm going to read a headline. I want to see what you guys think, what year this was of those 3 years on this date. Here you go. First one, Lindsey Graham meets Joy Behar's challenge to name three things Trump did right on coronavirus.
Ooh. So that takes two of those off the board right away.
Not necessarily. It's prophetic. It is Joy Behar. That lady knows what she's talking about.
It probably wasn't 2014 or 17.
Yeah, I think 2020 is too easy. I'm going to go 2023. This is 1 year ago today.
Okay. Any guesses?
Are these all political?
They are what they are, Leah.
They are what they are. Yeah, 2023. I'm going to say they are what they are.
I'm going 2020.
2020. Okay, I'm writing all this down. Everybody's on the board. Here we go. Next one.
Oh, wait. You're going to...
No, you want to know right now? That was 2020. Annie was correct.
Either give us all of the headlines so we can purpose them or tell us as we go.
I like making it hard on you. Okay, so Annie got that one correct. That was 2020. Can you believe... That's basically 1 month in, because if you start mid-March talking about this, that is 1 month into the pandemic. Lindsey Graham has to go onto The View to defend President Trump against all the things that The View was saying that he had botched on coronavirus.
Yeah, 1 month in, well, a little over a month in, but immediately that's where they went. It was political. It was President Trump's fault.
Yes, it was. The main point that Graham made was that the China travel restriction probably saved us a lot of headache. That was the main point he was making at the time. Next one.
Just like Joe Biden and the southern border.
That's right. Next one. New York City mayor to announce major overhaul of Superstorm Sandy recovery program.
I know this one.
You know this one?
I think so.
All right, I'm going to go after Annie.
Nope.
Leah goes first.
I have no idea. 2017.
2017, okay. New York City mayor talking about Superstorm Sandy recovery program.
Yeah, I think 2017.
17.
17. Everybody is incorrect.
14.
14 is correct. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is planning to announce a major overhaul of the city's beleaguered program that was supposed to rebuild homes that were wrecked by Superstorm Sandy.
Did Chris Christie... yeah, that makes sense because Chris Christie's... Well, no. Maybe. Chris Christie's hug was what helped Obama win over Mitt Romney?
The hug.
Yeah, but that would have been 2012, right?
That was what it was from. So anyway, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But I was thinking it was after the election, but it would have been Obama, not Trump.
Surprise, surprise. The government program meant to help people with recovery from Superstorm Sandy was not doing well. So that was exactly 10 years ago today, that story.
Wow.
All right. Now two left. So tell me when these were both, of course, April 17th. One of them will be 2023. One of them will be 2017. All of them from Fox News. Buttigieg points to how roads are designed and built as the reason for racial disparities in road fatalities.
Leah, what do you think?
2023.
I'm going to agree with Leah, 2023.
I don't know. Yeah,
23. It is 2023. Yeah, that was exactly... Everybody remembers this story, I think.
Yeah.
This was exactly 1 year ago today. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told MSNBC host Al Sharpton that he will continue to address racial disparities in roadway accidents under his position.
He also had a thing where he complained about the heights of bridges because those were racist because they kept... people, minorities, from getting to the beaches or something like that, from riding a bus to the beach.
Yeah, it's amazing. It says racial disparities continue to be a focus for Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, according to a recent appearance on MSNBC's Politics Nation. MSNBC host Al Sharpton sat down with Buttigieg and questioned him about his dedication to addressing inequality regarding road fatalities. So Al Sharpton was saying, I think you're not dedicated enough to this topic. And Pete Buttigieg was having to defend his record on making sure that everybody knew that that was basically the only reason he's there. All right, the last one. I think you may have figured it out by default. Will Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch recuse himself on the first day on the job?
2017.
Yep.
Yeah,
you got it.
That.
It's the last one on the board. It's 2017. April 17th, 2017. He had just been sworn in. So this was, again, a master move by Mitch McConnell that worked. Mm-hmm. It's one of the main things we talk about with Mitch McConnell being effective, that he did this. Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch's first day on the high court's bench is likely to be a... T.S. Eliot special, it says, from Fox News. All whimper, no bang. They were talking about him recusing himself because there were some Obama administration officials in this case, and everybody was wondering whether he would do so. So there you go. There are the four stories. You guys did pretty good. 2017 being the last one there with Neil Gorsuch, of course. That was the beginning of many more Supreme Court nominees to come. So that one was the least crazy. The Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearing is one that I think will stand out in American history for anybody who is alive.
Yeah.
Remembers something about
that. I remember, was it Alyssa Milano that was sitting in the back with a sign or something like that? It was wild. I know where I was whenever Susan Collins announced that she would be voting to confirm him. I could take you to the exact spot in the exact yard that I was cutting whenever I was listening to that because you guys were carrying
it
live.
Is it a little shorter than the other ones? Did you pause?
I paused, but I never lowered the blades any farther. So,
did that break through for you, Leah? Was that something that you remember?
What?
The Brett Kavanaugh hearing. I mean, I know you're not like a political junkie like we are.
Yeah, no.
So you weren't paying close attention to that one.
I didn't start paying attention to politics till like 2020.
Mm-hmm. That was before that.
Yeah.
So
I want to remind y'all that the Mark Cox Morning Show Spring Bourbon Fling is tomorrow, 5:30 to 8 p.m. Go to the Clayton Wine House and sample some of the finest bourbons on the market with Mark Cox and Kim St. Ange. You can check all of that out at 971talk.com/events for more details. All tickets include a meet and greet with the team, tasting tables, and light appetizers. Get yours before they are all scooped up. 971talk.com/events. Let's talk to Jeroy Murdoch and Riley Gaines in the 1 o'clock hour. Very excited for it. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.